You know, there's so many times, you know, I stand up here, I'll just be honest. You guys are so precious. I don't know a more precious group of people on the planet. You know, Pastor Deborah and Pastor Ellen and I talk about you guys all the time. And when you stand up here, it's actually difficult to minister because you pull on the anointing. You pull so hard. I was ready to stand up here and pray the whole time because of the hearts that you guys have, that you're so receptive, that you want more of God. How many want more of God? And it's so obvious, and it's actually difficult. It's challenging to kind of stay on subject or to discipline ourselves to the notes because of your great passion. And so you're to be commended for that. Pat yourself on the back and then give Jesus all the glory. Okay. Okay. Praise God. Well, last week we heard an amazing message by Pastor Eleanor. It was just amazing. And she took it off the wrap, steady me. Did you get steady this week? And just to let the peace of God invade our soul. And I got so much out of it. It was so rich. And so then I had to come back for more that night to girlfriend's PM and got it again. So I walked in the peace of God this week. Did you guys walk in that peace? Anybody freak out in a situation? Did you don't raise your hand. It's okay. You repented, I'm sure. Anyway, when I was seeking God, what he had in his heart for you today, he just ministered to me a certain portion of scripture, and I always like to think of tricky titles. And so I entitled this message, Do Good with Doing Good. Do good with doing good. The King James, it talks about well-doing. So I said, doing well and well-doing. Do good with doing good. And the portion of scripture that I'd like to highlight and sort of springboard off of today is found in Galatians 6:9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. He says, and do not grow weary. We're not supposed to grow weary. He says, he doesn't say try not to grow weary. I love the Bible. God just tells us to do it. So many times we want to whine and tell him how hard it is, but he just tells us to do it. He says, do not grow weary while doing good. We've been doing good. We've been, you know, striving to do all we know to do. It says, for in due season, at the appointed time, you will reap if you do not lose heart. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but as for you, brethren or sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. So we want to do good. Our hearts are right. We're here. We're here in the house. We're talking with God every day. We're striving to live for him. But there is a temptation to grow weary while doing good. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And so we're not talking about just physically tired here. We're talking about weary. We're not talking about just being tired in the flesh. Like Pastor Eleanor said, some of you just need to take a Tylenol and go take a good nap. If you're tired in the flesh, if you just have been up too many times with a colicky baby like Lisa over there, or you're being challenged, sometimes you do. You just, the most spiritual thing you could do is ignore the dishes and the laundry and go take you a nap. But we're talking about being weary in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, the soul area, the unique part of you that makes you you. You're a spirit. You're going to live forever. You're just housed in that finite physical tomb right now. You're just shut up in that box right now. But the real you is going to be let loose someday. You're going to have a new body. But the soul area, that unique part of you, your personality that makes you you, that's forever too. Isn't that good? We're going to know each other in heaven. As I've told kids before, I've told them, I'm going to look for you, and you better be there. Tell teenagers that. I'll look for you. But our spirit and our soul is us, the real us, and we're renewing our mind to the Word of God. So that's when you really start walking in maturity. Did you know that? When you really start getting your mind renewed to the Word of God, then your mind and your spirit agree, and then you're a powerhouse. Because when your flesh kicks up, 2/3 of you is saying no. Have you caught on? So get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Come to Girlfriends. Be in the Word of God, and you'll be blessed. So we're talking about that soul area. And many times when we've been standing in faith for things and standing in faith for things, we can be tempted to be discouraged if it seems like it's taking a long time for it to come to pass. Amen? Do I hear amen? I'm blessed to announce today, I asked her if it was okay. I'm blessed to announce that Dorothy Perez is here today. She's right there. Wave at everybody, Dorothy. Why don't you stand up, Dorothy? She is gorgeous. She is beautiful. And she's been in a year-long battle with ovarian cancer. But she's come through. She's doing fine. She's glowing with the love of Jesus. And but I was blessed the other day to get to visit with her and another sister. And, you know, God's been teaching me about his inside-out kingdom. Have you found out about his inside-out kingdom? Really, the real beauty's on the inside. I want to make a sci-fi film. I'm not a filmmaker, but I'd love to see a sci-fi film that, when you start getting to know someone, they actually morph to how their heart is. Wouldn't that be good? Then all the really beautiful skinny types, yeah, they'll turn ugly if they're vain. We'll get revenge. And all us fat, beautiful people, yeah. No. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But anyway. But we're fellowshipping with Dorothy, and she is just preaching to us. And she's been in a place this last year with God that at times I'm sure was a lonely place, right, Dorothy? And sometimes we go through those hard places, and actually, like Pastor Deborah has taught us, the real growth in your life and your character really comes in the hard places. We don't like the hard places. But in the hard places and in at times the lonely places is where you draw close to Jesus in a way that you never did before. And there's nobody that can talk to you, no one that can minister to you like him. So you come into that place, and when you come out of that place, you've got some stuff. You've got some stuff to preach. You are such a living witness. She is like a neon light bulb right now. And I said, Dorothy, we got to turn you loose. Because she has just come out of such a place of walking with God and letting him speak to her and letting him strengthen her when she's in pain and when she's tempted. And so if you're being discouraged today, I want you to know that there is a lifting up. God wants you to be encouraged today. He wants you to take great courage. And I don't know why every prayer isn't answered by next Tuesday. I don't know. But I know that when he's given us something, and he's put in our heart, and we know his word. And when we stand, he said, when you've done all to stand, continue to stand. And he doesn't want us to be discouraged, because he says, in due season, at the appointed time, we will reap if we faint not, if we don't lose heart. So we're going to look at what it means to be weary, what it means to lose heart, because we don't want to go there, right? And we're going to look at what it means to be strengthened in the Lord and to not be weary, but to be able to reap the results of our prayers in due time. Are you good? The Amplified in Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. Just continuing day after day to do right. For in due season and at the appointed season, you shall reap. This is God saying this. He says, you shall reap if you do not loosen and relax, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. It takes courage to fight. It takes courage to fight. Webster's defines courage as the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous. You can get a bad report from the doctor. It says anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful. Instead of withdrawing from it, instead of losing heart, instead of quitting, you deal with it, it says here. Courage is to deal with what's dangerous, what's difficult, what's painful. It's a quality of being fearless or brave or valor. God has called us to be courageous warrior women. Do I hear an amen in the house? And many of us are dealing with even dangerous situations, difficult situations, painful situations. Maybe it's not so painful, but it's just you're in a very tedious place in life that's not too exciting. And you just want to say, you know, I'm tired of dealing with this man. I'm tired of dealing with these kids. They're wearing me out. But he says, don't be weary, because when you get weary in the flesh, then you're tempted to lose heart and faint and just give up in the battle. And then you won't reap in due season. How many want to reap? I want to reap. I want that answer prayer. I want to see that thing happen. So Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I love it. He tells us to be strong. He doesn't say try to be strong. He says be strong in the Lord, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we can be weary and we can grow tired in our flesh. But we're going to learn today how to be strong in him and in the power of his might. Are you with me today? Are you good? Well, let's look at what being weary is like. Let me see. Does it look like this? I would say this guy is dog tired. I thought I'd bring a little levity into this. I wish it looked like that. Or does it look more like this? That's really how it looks like, a little bit more. Not just tired physically, but just weary of the battle. Just weary of the battle. Just tired, dog tired. But when it seems like it's been a while since you've prayed, when it seems like you've been standing, you can actually get very, very weary in well-doing. Sometimes it starts with a lot of activity. We stay up too late, trying to get it all done. You know, the buck stops with mom. Have you figured that out? You know, even reminding everybody about the trash. It's like you are the home manager, whether you want to be it or not. Guess what? You are it. So if you want things organized, if you want things to run well, you're it. Sorry. A lot of times we stay up too late. The dishes have to get done. There's one more dish. There's one more piece of clothing to launder. You know, it just never ends. And so we stay up too late. And then we stayed up too late getting it all done, getting the kids to bed, all of the above. And then we get up too late. And we get up, we jump out of bed. Kids got to get to school, got to get breakfast, throw the clothes on, throw some sweats on, jump in the car. You know, whatever your routine is. And many times, especially if you're in that zone, the young kid zone, you run off in the flesh, you're saying a quick prayer as you're getting in the car, Father, thank you for my angels. You know, I tell people they jump off at 55. No, they don't. No, they don't. There's a lot of grace there, trust me, a lot of grace. But so you jump in the car, you take off, you go through the day, pick the kids up from school, and then you're into another routine. And then, oh, by the way, you're standing in faith for that unsaved husband. Or you're standing in faith for those teenagers to make right choices. Or you're tempted, you felt a lump in your breast or something, and you're standing in faith according to the word for your healing. So you're throwing up quick prayers through the day, but you're in a whole lot of activity. And sometimes because we're running more in the flesh than in the spirit, we're kind of in the wrong store at the wrong time. Or we just missed the principal we needed to talk to. Or we missed paying a bill, so now we got to drive it somewhere. And what happens is you actually begin to just spin kind of out of control. And then praise God for Thursdays. Pastor Deborah reels us back in. You know, we come here and we're like desperate. You know. Am I preaching real good right now? Okay, I'm trying not to look at anybody specifically. But I know the planet because, I tend to be that way. You know, I tend to be kind of in hyper mode and trying to do too many things, trying to spin too many plates. And I'm preaching to myself right now. Because there's so many times that God says, push it all aside and just come be with me. And many times we're driving home after taking them to school. We're driving home. And we're saying to God, God, as soon as I get home, we're going to, 30 minutes, God. As soon as I get home, I'm walking in the door. I'm spending quality time with you, God. I'm just pushing it all aside, you know. And we walk in the door, and there's a call from girlfriend, or a call from a cousin or sister. And, you know, if we get a call from somebody else, we say, I got to go. I have a call. But God's calling, and we don't say, I got to go. God's calling. And so we get caught up in that conversation. And then, well, we look over at the laundry. You think, well, I'll just throw in one load first. And then while it's going, then we think, well, you know, on the way back, I should pick up these shoes. You know, and before we know it, it's time to pick up the kids. And here we go. Here we go. And we don't make our time with God the source of our strength, our priority. Do I hear an amen? When in fact, we need to. And you know, God spoke to me one day and he said, you know, you can't satisfy the flesh and the spirit at the same time. You can't do everything you want to do in the flesh, be on Facebook just the right amount of times, watch, you know, the series of the last episode of Lost that you lost. No, keep it lost. I told my husband, I am so lost. I don't even know who's doing what anymore and what time zone they're in. You know, that's time to quit the program when you can't figure it out. But, you know, we want to do what everything our flesh wants to do and still have what we need in the spirit. And you're going to have to deny your flesh. Yeah, you're going to have to tell that little thing no. That thing that's craving to be satisfied in the flesh, you're going to tell that no and go for what you know you really need deep down inside, the only thing that is truly satisfying, and that's the presence of God. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, so we can be tempted to be discouraged. And then in the middle of all this activity, many times that's when the devil will attack. And because we've been operating for several days more in the flesh actually than in the spirit, and praise God for his grace, nobody hit us in the car or nothing major happened, but we just, you know, weren't as tuned in as we needed to be. And then that's the day that husband goes south, or that's the day that kids make some really unlovely choice, or that's the day that it seems like that physical symptom really, you know, sparks up and really causes you anguish. And because we're walking in the flesh more in the spirit, the devil attacks. And instead of responding in the spirit with the word of God, with the power of God, and resisting him so he'll flee, we succumb. Because we're weary. We're not strong in the spirit like we need to be. So, you know, the devil, have you figured out he doesn't play fair? Are you kidding me? When he attacks, it usually comes in threes, we've found. He does not play fair. Any enemy that would kill a baby before it's even born is a horrific, horrible enemy. He does not play fair. So he doesn't pick your best day to attack you. Are you kidding me? He picks the day that you've been running around doing too much and half in the flesh and even using high school words. Yeah, that's the day he will attack you. And then, you know, praise God for his grace. We repent, you know, and get back on the word, and he fixes it. And isn't that good? But many times we've got to undo some really bad things that we did when we were in the flesh and under attack. We've got to undo words that were spoken crossly. We have to undo decisions that we made out of the flesh more than out of the spirit. Do I hear an amen? So the devil does not play fair. Here's some signs of being weary and well-doing. Here's some signs. If you're not sure, you think, well, I think I'm maybe somewhat weary, but you'll have boredom with your routine. You know, when you're walking in the spirit and you've spent time with God, your kids get in the car after school and you just relish that moment. God helps you tune up to things that are really important, to where you don't miss opportunities to speak into their life. But when you're operating more in the flesh than in the spirit, there's a tendency to get bored with your routine. The flesh likes excitement. That's why we're such an entertainment society. Your flesh wants to sit there and just watch 2 or 3 hours of TV. It likes to be entertained. There's a gratification there. And yet, you'll begin to be bored with that routine and just have a ho-hum attitude toward your life that may be an amazing life to someone else. But you're bored with it. Then there can be a lack of a sense of purpose for what you're doing. You know God spoke to you. You know God's got you maybe in a season that you're not working out of the home, or you're ministering to your kids. You've got small children. But the sad thing is many times the devil can attack you with even resentment toward getting to be home with your children or not seeing the value of the time that you could have with them. Or if your husband's saved, you'll begin to pick at all the little things he isn't. And then the woman that her husband isn't even saved, she's looking at you like, are you a fool? But then she's got her own set of issues. But we can forget and not see, not have a spiritual sensitivity and depth of understanding toward our situation that in so many ways is amazing. Do I hear an amen? We can become gripey and complainy. I call it gripey and complainy. I don't know if those are words. But Joyce Meyer says, to complain is carnal. To complain is carnal. I had that on my refrigerator until I finally got a refrigerator that I can't put magnets on anymore. But I had it on my refrigerator for a long time. Because I can go there. Do I hear an amen? I can go there. And it's when I start getting complacent toward my situation. And then suddenly, you know, I'm not satisfied with anything. You know, you're not satisfied with your hair. You're not satisfied with your wardrobe. You're not satisfied with the kids. You're not satisfied with the house. You believe God for that house, but then you got to keep it clean. What's up with that? But to complain is carnal. I like what Paul said. He said, you know, you have not suffered unto blood resisting sin. Hello. God spoke to me one day and said, what in the world do you have to complain about? You know, if we didn't have one prayer answered in this life, we're getting prayers answered every day. But if God just decided to take a break and we didn't get one prayer answered for the rest of our life, and all it was about was eternity with Him, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it? So we have absolutely nothing to complain about. Do I hear an amen? Then we lose heart. And here's what losing heart looks like. When someone begins to lose heart, they've stood in faith and stood in faith for months. Dorothy told me last night, it's been over a year since she's been able to come to Girlfriends. And I just, that tore me up. I thought, God, you know, has she had enough support? Has she had enough girls encouraging her through this last year? I know she's been in a secret place and it's been good. But a person that loses heart is when they've stood and they've stood and they've gotten more in the flesh with it than in the spirit. And they've gotten weary and well doing, and it seems like that prayer's never going to get answered. They begin to get a little hard hearted. They begin to get just a little bit cynical. And you're talking to them and you'll say, you're sharing your testimony. Oh yeah, I needed a quarter and I walked in the phone booth and there it was. You know, and I mean, you know, God just answers all your prayers. And on the inside, they might be smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they're thinking, I can't remember when the last time was I got a prayer answered. And there's kind of a cynicism, kind of a discouraging spirit that begins to harden their heart and affect their soul area to where they feel like, you know, it's so hard. I've been standing so long in this situation, so tough. And I don't know if this really works. And many times that's when the enemy comes in actually with a spirit of unbelief and begins to barrage you with thoughts that you never get your prayers answered. When was the last time you got a prayer answered? Look at that husband. He's still mean and nasty. How long have you been standing? How long have you been standing? And we'll never know this side of heaven how many times we let loose of a prayer, we let it go. We kind of decided, oh, well, I'll settle for something else. Just before we were about to turn that corner. And God knows. Praise God for his grace. Amen. That many times you'll begin to feel depressed toward your day. You wake up in the morning with thoughts like, oh, what's the use? It'll never change. Why do I even try? You begin to have thoughts like that. Does that sound like anybody you know? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say, ouch. But Galatians 6:9 says, we will reap what we're standing for. We will reap answered prayer if we do not lose heart. Now, Galatians 6:8, just the verse before that, says, he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. Yielding to the flesh, yielding to those negative thoughts, just receiving the bad report, stepping back from it, saying, I'm not going to fight. It doesn't work. I don't know if I can do this anymore. It says that if you sow to the flesh and you give in to that, you're only going to reap corruption. You're only going to reap death. You're only going to reap worse than what you already have. But it says that he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we've got to begin to sow to the Spirit. And that's why we're encouraging you today, ladies. We're going to sow to the Spirit because the Bible says we will reap if we do not faint. We will reap everlasting life. Isn't that good? So how do we do things in the energy of the Spirit so we don't get discouraged? So we don't faint? So we reap answered prayer? Let's look at Hebrews 12:3. Because we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:3, it says, for consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Nothing like we could even imagine. It says, consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So he's saying, so that you don't get discouraged in your soul, so you don't get weary, look to Jesus. We need to consider him. We need to consider Jesus. We need to look to him because he is the one that is our example. Backing up another verse, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith and the answerer of our prayers, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says we're to look unto him because he's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He is going to perfect that which concerns us. He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. And he is our example. So it says that we're to look to him, consider him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So that brings me to my first point in how to have spiritual energy. How to stay strong in the Lord in the power of his might is number one, get a vision. Get a vision. And you know, just like they have the Verizon, I think it is, has the 3G network. We're going to have the 3Gs today so you can remember. Are you good? Everybody good? How many want to know? How many are still with me? Number one, we've got to get a vision. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, see, he saw. He had a vision of us, actually. He had a vision of us receiving Jesus someday, being restored to the Father. He knew the heart of the Father, that the Father wanted to restore all of mankind back to himself. There were people down in Hades just waiting for the price to be paid so they could go on into heaven. All the Old Testament saints were like, okay, come on, we're almost there. Hades is okay. This portion of Hades, paradise, is okay. But we want to get into heaven. We want the real thing. Come on, guys. Come on, Jesus. And for the joy that was set before him, knowing that all of mankind was going to be redeemed back to the Father, the ultimate answered prayer, for that vision, he was able to endure the cross. Now, I cannot imagine any suffering more than what Jesus went through. The fact that his Father turned his back on him. And had to forsake him when he became, literally became, the sin of the world. And yet he did that. He was able to endure that. He was able to go through that. Like a sheep, like a lamb to the slaughter. He did not utter a word. He closed his mouth. Pilate was like, why aren't you defending yourself? He thought, are you kidding me? I can call 10 legions of angels down right now and be out of here. But I've got a job to do. And you know, we can get out of those marriages. We can kick the kids out. We can just do it in the flesh and just decide, I'm done. I'm done with this. And back off and give up and lose heart. But we won't have the vision. So we've got to get a vision. And you've got to do whatever it takes to help you maintain that vision. Now, here's what I did with my family. I've got a lot of extended family. I had 6 brothers and sisters. At my mom's 80th, you guys see all my post-it notes there. I'm the post-it note queen. But anyway, my post-it notes have post-it notes saying buy post-it notes. But anyway, here is in the back of my Bible. You can't really see it, but that's my family. For my mom's 80th, it was all the kids, all the grandkids. And some of the great-grandkids, everybody but one person, we photoshopped her in. But there were 50 of us at my mom's 80th birthday. And that's in the back of my Bible. I lay hands on that every day. And I thank God for the salvation of my family. And they're coming in. There's a recent, you know, I shared with you about my brother, my 62-year-old brother Bill. Got teeth, quit drugs, got teeth, got married. Now he's in church. I've been praying for him for 35 years. 35 years. What was it going to take? What was it going to take for Brother Bill? I was like, Lord, I've worn out prayers over Bill. But get a vision. Make it plain, Habakkuk 2 says. Habakkuk 2:2. I don't know if I have that yet in the overhead. Let me get to my notes here. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. God wants you to run in this race. He doesn't want you weary. He wants you invigorated. He wants you excited. He wants you to see the finished result, the answer to your prayer. So take a picture. Draw a picture of a suit on your husband so he looks like he's going to church, if that's what it is. Put it in your Bible where he can't see it. He might not like that. Get a picture of your kids. Maybe before they started out getting out there and got so many tattoos you can't even see their face. You know? And make it plain. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it where you put your makeup on. And let the Holy Spirit remind you every day. That's my answered prayer. That's my vision, Father. You said, for the joy set before me, I can endure whatever I'm going through. I'm enduring. I'm looking to you, Father. You are the author. You are the finisher of my faith. You're bringing it to completion. You're perfecting that which concerns me. My stepdaughter, Chantel, the one that works for Disney, when she was 8, she began to believe God for a black horse. She wanted a black horse. Well, her dad didn't want her. My husband was a single parent. He didn't want her to have a black horse. So we can't have a horse. We live in the city. So she cut out a picture of a black horse, put it on the refrigerator. Every day she'd go by, put her hand on it, say, thank you, Jesus, for my black horse. Well, she was 12 when we got married. And I said, honey, this is her faith project. This is her faith. You can't mess with this. This is between her and God. So I started getting in agreement with her. And I put my hand on her black horse, too. Thank you, Father, for Chantel's black horse. Well, he wasn't sure if he liked that. We took horseback riding lessons together. But I said, you know, it's more important that she learn how to grow in faith and let God do it. Don't worry about it, honey. We can't afford a horse. And we told her, we can't afford a horse. You're going to have to be able to drive before you ever get a horse. So, but she stood in faith for that horse from 8 years old. At this time, she's been doing this for 4 years, thanking God for her horse. When we moved from the apartment they were in, we took that picture of that horse to our new house and put it on that refrigerator. And every day she said, thank you, Father, for my black horse. I was sharing this with Tammy a few weeks ago. Thank you, God, for my black horse. When she was 15 and a half, we were living in a different area now, actually just a couple miles from a boarding stable. My sister called us and said, I got a black horse for Chantel. She trailered it out. She trailered it out for 6 months. She started working at McDonald's just around the corner from us. For 6 months, we would pick her up from McDonald's and take her to ride her black horse. Every penny that she earned went for the board and care. We didn't spend a dime. And God answered her prayer. She stood 7.5 years, from 8 to 15.5. A child did that. Now, some of you haven't been standing that long. I want to encourage you today. I don't know why it takes that long, except she wouldn't have been able to handle a horse before that. 6 months later, she had her driver's license, and she'd go out there and ride every day. We went, moved back to Tulsa in her senior year to go to Bible college, and we said, do you mind? This is your senior year. Well, wait a year if you mind. And she says, oh, I don't mind as long as I can take my horse. We trailered it out to Oklahoma. She boarded it out there in pasture. It would be snowing. She'd go out and ride her horse. And that she had that horse for years, and God blessed her, and it had some foals, and, you know, there's a whole another story with that. But isn't God good? So we need to get a vision. We need to get a vision. Number two in our 3G network, number two, is guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Hebrews 12:3 in the Amplified says, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. That's what I just said. You know, compare what Jesus went through with your trials, and they'll just fade. So that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. And that's where the fainting comes in. We've got to guard our thoughts. We've got to guard our thoughts. And if you'll catch it there, ladies, you won't get so weary. I want to give you an example. Years and years ago, one day, I'm driving home from work. And I've had a long day, probably 3 spiritual guidances that day or whatever. And, you know, enough to blow you away. Sometimes you're like, I think I hate men. I think I hate men. No, I'm teasing. But anyway, no. Anyway, I'm sorry. Confessions of a pastor. But anyway, I'm driving home and I'm tired. And I'm having all those kinds of thoughts. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I think when I get home, I'll just, you know, take a little nap. You know, and I'm having all those kinds of thoughts. And that's not necessarily that bad. But I'm just thinking, I'm tired. And I'm yielding those kinds of thoughts about how tired I am. And I'm going to take a nap. And I'm going to do this and that. Well, girlfriend called. Yeah. She called. She goes, guess what? There is this huge sale at, I can't remember where it was at that time. This was years and years ago. I don't know. Ross. Whatever. Anyway, there's this huge sale. And no, it was Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning had just opened up. And there was all this Christmas stuff. That's what it was. She goes, oh, it's Tuesday morning. It's like, da-da-da-da-da. She told me about it. I was like, you're kidding. Took the off-ramp, got back on, went back the other way, spent 2 hours shopping. Now, how does that work? How does that really work? You're tired. You're going to take a bath. You're going to take a nap. You know, you're going to do dinner easy. You know, honey, order out. You know what I mean? You're going to do it easy because you're so tired. But then when it's something you really want to do, strength comes from somewhere. Shopping power. I had this friend that used to call it shopping therapy. Sue, we need shopping therapy, you know. But that shows you that it has a lot to do with your thoughts. Right? I had a mammogram one time. And just before the mammogram, I thought I felt like a lump. And then this because I felt this, I kept having like kind of like pain right there in my breast. And I was thinking, oh, what is that? Oh. So then I had a mammogram. And every day I would have this kind of rhythmic pain in my breast. And so the devil just had me going there. And then I got the letter in the mail, not the phone call. That's always good. I got the letter in the mail that said everything was normal. Everything was fine. The minute I read that, the pain stopped. Seriously, true story. The minute I read it, the pain stopped. Now tell me that our thought life doesn't have something to do with our energy level. Tell me that our thought life doesn't have something to do with our vibrancy. So we have got to guard our thoughts. Do I hear an amen? We have got to guard our thought life. Amen? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We're to think on the word. Think on the word. Like I said before, put post-its around the scripture. Got post-its all over the house. I try to get colors that'll coordinate with the room. Get praise music going. praise music going in your house. It's hard to wake up depressed when you went to bed listening to anointed praise music. A lot of that music has an anointing on it that stays in you. Now, the Beatles, they had a demonic hook, you know, and that would stay in you. You don't want to wake up with some of that stuff. And a lot of groups do. But when you listen to anointed, spirit-led praise music, you'll wake up in the morning, and before you have time to have a depressed thought, it'll come rising up in you, that the music that keeps your heart centered on God. So that's a big key. God knew what he was doing when he invented music. So it's hard to feel depressed when you've got the Word of God in song just going through your soul. And then number three in our 3G network, we need to get God's strength. Get God's strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's one of those dichotomies. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I've told you this before. That's the only time you can agree with the devil. When he starts telling you everything you can't do, just agree with him and say, "You're right, devil. Can't do it. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." 1 John 4:4. I can't do it. I can't do it. I will get weary in the flesh. You can't do it, ladies. Decide that. You can't do it in your own strength. You're going to faint. You're going to get weary. You won't have the answered prayer. They're telling us this for a reason. The Word of God was written for us to know this. So don't try to go there in your own strength. It will not work. Get a clue. You can't do it, but we can be strong in him and in the power of his might. The greater one on the inside of us can strengthen us so that we can not be weary in well-doing. Amen. Galatians 5:16 says, "To walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He doesn't say resist the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. He says walk in the Spirit. Go forward in the Spirit. Do everything that feeds your spirit. Come to church. Be in the Word. Be in the presence of God. Do what lifts you up and builds you up and strengthens you spiritually. And you won't walk in the flesh where you're tempted to be weary, where you're tempted to be discouraged, where you want to give up. Amen. And so we need to give priority to building ourselves up spiritually. Number one, come to church. Number two, spend time with God. You have got to make this a priority. And I'm preaching to myself right now. We all go through seasons where we do this better than others. Sometimes we're in a season where there is just a lot that pulls on us physically. You've got a newborn baby that's colicky. Or you've got, like Pastor Deborah says, the fingers coming under the bathroom door. And you're thinking, gosh, I can't even go potty. You know, my grandson, "Grandma, can I come in?" "No, can't come in." You do with your mommy, but you can't come in with grandma. It doesn't work that way. But anyway. But we have to spiritually prioritize our day with God as number one. And that means we say no to some other things. Because we've got to value the time that we spend with him. He has invited us. The King of the universe, the one that created everything we see, has invited us to come boldly before his throne of grace and to obtain the mercy that we need in our time of need. That's amazing to me. That's why Jesus died, so we could have intimate, vibrant fellowship with God the Father. And so we've got to do what we need to do to make that a priority. I talked to a lady recently, and in her evenings were way out of control. She's a single mom, but her kids are staying up till 10 o'clock because they won't go to bed. You make those little puppies go to bed. You decide when they go to bed. If it's 8:30 or 8 o'clock, whatever it is. And then when my kids were little, we had first-time obedience. Yeah, they catch on real quick. You only have to get out the rod about one time. And then the next time you say, "Do I need to get out the rod?" And they, "No, mommy, no, mommy." But now you know. I'm not talking about patty cake on a padded diaper. No, no, no. I'm talking about the rod. One good swat on the bare bottom gives them a little red cherry about that big. And sends them dancing, usually just once. Sometimes if they're really tough, you can do twice. That'll send them dancing. Then the next night you say, "Mommy said it's time to go to bed. Do I need to get the rod?" "No, no, no." And they jump up and they run and they go to bed. It's real easy. No negotiation. Now you will have to get off the couch to do that. Yeah. That's what we don't like. You will have to get up and go do that. And you decide the peace that you need in the home. You pull it in. You, in the name of Jesus, you get, you know, if you're married, get your husband in agreement with you. That's always the ideal. But if he won't go there, then you say, well, I've got to have my peace. So you get him to bed and then let the house calm down earlier. And, you know, get the dishes done or whatever. Get to bed at a reasonable time that you can get up in the morning and beat the devil to your day. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm not really a morning person, but I crawl out of bed. I make my flesh do it. And I get in his presence and I lift up the day. I pray in the spirit and the Holy Spirit goes before me and he just like moves all those devils out of the way. And we need to do that. We need to do that. Make church a priority. Make spending time with God a priority. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, we're going to be strong in God's strength, in Jesus' strength, in Christ's strength. We're going to be strong in him. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the vision set before us, the joy of the answered prayer, the joy that we can gain only in his presence will be our strength. If you aren't walking in peace and joy, you haven't fully committed your issues to God. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says, casting all of your cares on him because he cares for you. And when he's got the cares, you don't. So you can walk in joy and you can walk in peace. Amen. And then number three, pray in the spirit. I just gave you a little sample. Pray in the spirit. I've got one string, seems like, and I pluck it. You need to be filled to overflowing with the power of God. And you need to be able to speak in tongues. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4 that when you pray in the spirit, you edify yourself. There's an edification that comes. That word edify is where we get our word edifice. And you literally build yourself up on the inside like a mighty fortress. And you're bold. So when the devil comes knocking, you resist him and he flees. Because there's inner strength there from praying in the spirit. So if you need to get filled with the Spirit today, if you need to be able to speak in tongues, I'll meet you in that little altar room right afterwards during the table talk time. And we'll get you filled. If anyone wants to help me pray, we'll get these ladies filled. Because you need the power of God in your life. We're not called to do this in our own strength. Jesus said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you are endued with power. That's what he told the early church. If they need the power of God, we need the power of God. Amen. Number four, get into the word for yourself. Church is good. We need to come to church. But you need to be in the word for yourself. The Holy Spirit will give you a word for your situation that will just hold you steady and strengthen you. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your words give light. And it gives understanding to the simple. I always tell God, God, I am so stupid. I am so foolish. I need your wisdom. And just getting into the word, it's a magical book. You just get into the word and it gets in you. And light comes. If you're weary, open the word of God and get into the word of God. And strength comes that just zaps into your spirit. Your spirit feeds on the word like your body feeds on food. We eat three big meals a day and snack in between. And then give our body one stale sandwich a week. Not that coming to church is a stale sandwich. But we don't feed our spirit like we need to. Amen? It feeds on the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified says that the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing line of the soul and the spirit. He'll show you what you're doing out of a work of the emotion more than the work of the spirit. So I tell single girls, you start dating him, you get in the word a whole bunch. Because then the Holy Spirit will help you divide and know if that's out of your emotion or out of your spirit that you're going with him. Everything that looks cute ain't, right? Okay, that's free. Okay, number five, speak the word. As I ministered a few weeks ago, there's a miracle in your mouth. Speak the word. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got the opportunity years ago to teach third grade for 2 years, and I didn't have a teaching credential. I was under an emergency clause. I was able to do it. If you if you want to do, if you really hate yourself, try teaching for a couple of years. No, I loved it, but it was the best of times, but it was the worst of times. It was so hard, and I felt like I wore out that scripture every day. God, I can do all things through you who strengthened me. We can do all things. Speak the word of God. It will strengthen you, that you can stand in the battle. You can see it to the end. And then number six, seek godly counsel if you need to. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And then I love this one. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a woman sharpens the countenance of her friend. And that's why we're here today. That's really what Girlfriends is all about. If you're not going to be going back there to have prayer for the Holy Spirit, you're going to be sitting around a table today. And it's rich. It's iron sharpening iron. And that's why I love what goes on Thursday mornings. Because at a time when you are feeling discouraged, and maybe you've been doing things too much out of the avenue of the flesh, you can come together and there's some accountability, and your sister can look at you in the eyes and say, baby girl, let me pray for you. And you can receive the strength and the encouragement that you need around these tables. I'm so blessed that Dorothy's here today. She's going to preach to us, but I'm looking forward to us being able to hug her and love on her and minister to her and let her know how much we've missed her. Because there's a lifting up, there's a strengthening that comes when we fellowship. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to do good in doing good, ladies. We're going to have the 3G network working in our lives. Amen? Number one, let's get a vision. Number two, let's guard our thoughts. Number three, let's get God's strength so that we are not weary in doing good and we do not lose heart. Did you get something today? God bless you. God bless you.